Hey guys, my name is Amy Coonan, and I am a millennial on a mission to eat, clean, cook, dress, and live more sustainably. It's because of that I'm also the host of The Town Hall, Rubicon's first and only podcast where we share sustainability stories from the industry's influencers and the biggest brands. Jam-packed with tips, tricks, and need-to-know info for those that want to do better for the planet but may not know where to start. We are covering it all. Last year, we spoke to some incredible people who are doing some incredible things for our planet. The executive director of the Leonardo DiCaprio Foundation, the CEO of Seven Generation Cleaning Products, and one of the brains behind environmental sustainability in the NBA. This season, we're kicking it up a notch. Don't forget to download and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or iHeartRadio so that you don't miss a minute. And if you can't catch us on your commute or you don't download directly, don't stress. You can check out our website at rubiconglobal.com/townhallpodcast for recaps, reviews, and all things Town Hall. Hey, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Town Hall. Today, I am psyched to be joined by Catherine Kellogg, the brains behind the brilliant blog and brand Going Zero Waste, and the author of 101 Ways to Go Zero Waste. Catherine, thank you so much for coming on right before the weekend.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
So before we get into all of the lessons learned and all of the insights that you've accumulated on your own personal zero waste journey, I've got to know what inspired you to begin. Tell me a little bit about yourself and what really sparked your passion for environmental sustainability.
Yeah, so I'm actually from Arkansas, which isn't really the most green progressive state in America. And I didn't even know what recycling was until I was in college. And I always joke that it's never too late to be a hippie because I certainly wasn't raised in this way. And I feel like a lot of people feel like they have to be brought up in an environmental household in order to care about the earth. But, you know, the earth provides clean water and clean air, which is what we need to survive as humans. So I think the pursuit of a clean and healthier earth is one for everyone. But for me personally, this started with a breast cancer scare. I had it when I was 20, and it completely just flipped my entire world upside down. I started paying attention to endocrine disruptors because endocrine disruptors interfere with our hormones, and those can be found in things like plastics. It's a big one. I'm sure most of us have heard of BPA. And of course, you know, these can also be found in our cleaning products, our beauty products, because many of these things aren't regulated for that kind of safety. And so I just really started switching to a more natural lifestyle. But when I moved out to California, I saw the plastic and the litter on the streets, and being so close to the ocean, it really connected for me that the changes I was making for my personal health weren't only better for me, but also better for the health of the planet.
So our target demo, and myself and, you know, you and most of our listeners, were of the millennial generation. And I think that there's a theme that we want to do better things for our earth and leave the planet a little bit better than when we found it. But our show is really targeted to those who want to do that but may not know where to start. So there are probably listeners who are unfamiliar. How do you define living zero waste? What does that mean to you?
So the simple definition is to send nothing to a landfill. But the more complex definition that I personally really like is to completely write waste out of existence. And that's because we can waste so much more than what we just put in our trash can, right? We really have to look at a more holistic solution. And we also have to look a little bit bigger and a little bit broader because there's so much more that we can waste, right? We can have a waste of resources. We can also have a waste of time, right? And time is our own personal non-renewable resource that we have. Right. Of course, we can have a waste of money. And then of course, we can also be wasting resources and emissions and things like that.
So how does someone even start the process? Like, let's say, you know, this will go out and someone will listen to the episode and, you know, the light bulb go off and they want to give it a go. What are the first couple of things that they can do to really get started?
So I recommend that everyone start with the big four. And these are four easy items that create a lot of waste simply because we're unprepared or we don't know other solutions exist, or we know other solutions exist and we just haven't fully committed to doing them. So the first one, of course, is bringing our own bags to the grocery store, right? We all know we should do this, we just forget. So it's like, how can we hack our brain to actually remember? And so a few of the tips I like to give is to get a few that maybe clip onto your keychain. That way they're always with you no matter where you are. Getting into the habit of making sure that you actually put the bags in your car, or of course, truly, truly committing. And I promise, if you make it a pain point, if you get to the store and you've forgotten, then go home and go get them. And it'll be such a painful memory. I have done this myself, that you will never leave the house without asking yourself, do I need my grocery bags? The second one is to ask for no straw with your drink order. If you don't need a straw, then just rehearse your drink order. Mine is always the same, water. I would like a water, no straw, please. So if you can just get in the habit of saying that over and over again, like say it to yourself 20 times out loud right after this episode. And the next time you go, you'll order and it'll just fall out of your mouth without you even having to do anything about it. The next one is water bottles. It's crazy how much we pay for bottled water when it basically comes for free out of your faucet. And most of the United States has very clean drinking water. And drinking water, tap water, is actually more regulated than bottled water. So it's actually safer than bottled water. And the way I remember this is I run through a checklist in my mind right before I leave, which is phone, wallet, water, keys. And if I have all four of those items, I can leave my house. And I choose an insulated water bottle because it keeps hot drinks hot and cold drinks cold. So that way, if I do stop by a cafe and I want coffee or tea to go, I can actually get it in my water bottle.
And did they ever look at you weird when you asked for that?
Never. Never. Yeah. You just take the cap off and you just hand it to them and they'll just make it right in your cup.
That's awesome.
And you typically get paid. Like Starbucks will actually pay you 5 cents to do that. So a lot of coffee shops will actually pay you to bring your own cup.
I think, you know, and I've read it on your blog before, that this kind of a journey is really like a diet. Like these small changes will obviously add up to a big result. Were there any changes that you made to, you know, adopt your zero waste lifestyle that were actually like really easy, like things that were no-brainers for you?
Yeah, pretty much everything. I think everyone thinks that, you know, this is going to be like life-changing, radical, so hard. But really, it's really rudimentary, in my opinion. A lot of it is very, very simple. It's just like changing a small habit. But once the habit is changed, you're in it, you know what you're doing, you don't even have to think twice. And I mean, you don't even have to do a lot to significantly reduce your trash. I mean, composting, 60% of what an average American family throws away is actually organic matter that could be composted. So if you just want to slash your trash right now by half, just start composting. And composting is amazing for the environment. Honestly, that would probably be the biggest impact you could have as well, because a lot of people believe their food scraps and organic matter will break down in a landfill. And it won't, because it's not aerated properly for decomposition. Instead, it lives in this like limbo state and releases methane, which 16% of all methane emissions actually come from landfills. And methane is 30 times more powerful than your average greenhouse gas like carbon.
So what kind of compost do you have at your house?
Oh, I'm a very bad composter, so I pay someone to take care of it for me. But I have tried almost every compost before that. And so I think the easiest bin for anyone to get started is a double door tumble compost bin. It's very small. You can put it on a balcony of an apartment. It's raised off the ground and it's enclosed, so you don't have to worry about critters. You don't have to worry about any of that. You put in your fruit and veg scrap, as well as, you know, some other material like paper, your shredded paper. You can't actually recycle shredded paper unless your waste management company has a specific shredded paper program. So you can't just like dump it loose in the bin. That's bad because it'll clog the machines. So all that shredded paper though is amazing for your compost. So take all your shredded paper, all that important information you don't want anyone to read, you can actually turn it into soil. So, you know, that's great. It'll disappear forever. So you can put all that, your food scraps in, and then it has like a little handle and you just give it a little turn every time you put anything in it and you're done. That's it. It's so easy. And in 2 months, you'll have soil.
I'm trying to, you know, I've been thinking a lot and doing a lot of interview prep, and most of my episodes are pretty evergreen. You know, you can kind of listen to them all throughout the year. But I would selfishly like to pick your brain about an upcoming project. A couple coworkers and I are actually about to embark on a zero waste experiment. We're going to record and journal our results in an attempt to like modify some of our behaviors. You know, working at Rubicon, we need to walk the walk. You know, it's time to kind of put up or shut up. And I'm sure, you know, and I know that there are a plethora of tips and tricks and guides, and I've been using your website as a resource and a source of inspiration. But I did want to talk about the place in my house and in my personal life that produces a lot of waste. And for me, that's the kitchen. And I know we had talked, you know, about composting, but when I think of starting this journey, I get a little bit overwhelmed because the kitchen scares me the most. What are some things kind of in my domain I can do to get a quick win in waste reduction in the kitchen other than composting?
Is there anything in particular that scares you about the kitchen? Is there one thing that jumps out?
Food waste in and of itself, trying to come up with ways to reduce food, you know, outside of just composting. The other thing is cleaning products, you know, sustainable cleaning products. Do you make your own? Do you have some that you recommend? I mean, in terms of keeping a house clean?
Yeah. So I have all my favorite recipes in my book, 101 Ways to Go Zero Waste. But to be honest, the one I use most is half vinegar, half water. And that's it. It takes, you know, basically no time to make. You put a little bit of vinegar in a jar, you put a little bit of water in a jar, you can clean almost every surface in your home, except for the tub, grout, or there's one other. Oh, your oven, which is a separate cleaner, which also takes less than a minute to make. So I'm not all about that DIY life 24/7, right? And I don't think most people are. So it's like, how can we make small changes, like we were talking about earlier, how can we make small changes that are going to have a big impact? And because once again, when we talk about zero waste, right, we don't want to waste our own time either. So there are easy, easy solutions. And when we look at the kitchen, food waste is huge. I mean, the average American, I believe, throws out around $2,000 worth of food every single year. We also have to look at what we throw away as money, because that's what it is, right? Everything we throw away cost us something. Paper towels, right? We had to pay for that. We're literally paying for trash. So zero waste living actually saves a lot in that way, because we're no longer paying for these items. And so in the kitchen, I would really look at what you truly use. For me, I used quite a bit of aluminum foil, but once I cut the aluminum foil, I did realize I didn't really need it. I did buy like some silicone mats to put down like on my pans, but I don't even use them that often. I actually use them more for the freezer more than anything else, because I really like to make my own peanut butter cups. And I use those using like those silicone cupcake molds. Mm-hmm. I love those. But I actually just bake my cupcakes now like naked in the pan. I've never had an issue. Like, so I've just removed a lot of these items as well. Like, don't even need them. And I think food waste is probably the biggest issue in the home, I would think, right? Or in the kitchen. I mean, one of the best ways to do that is just to simply buy less food, because typically we buy way more food than we think we need. And on average, 40% of all the food in America goes to waste, which is insane, because if food waste were a country, it would be the third largest emitter of greenhouse gases behind the US and China.
Nuts. I read that on the blog. It was absolutely crazy. Why do you think people are so, in like myself included, I mean, before we really got to talking about it, why do you think people are so intimidated when they hear going zero waste? Is it just because it's a concept that we can't imagine?
I think waste is like a really weird word. It's like not a word we normally hear. Right. And then zero is like so finite. So it's like, what is this weird thing? Like, it just feels so foreign and odd. But, you know, I didn't make up the term.
No. Just getting back to some of the tips and stuff, and I know that you kind of said phone, wallet, keys, water bottle. What are some other tools in your tool belt that help you every day that like you don't really leave without?
Actually, the only thing I don't leave without is my water bottle. I don't like being a big pack mule, so I don't really bring a lot of stuff with me. But I think it's just, if you look at every disposable item in your home, there's a reusable alternative. But before you even get to the alternative, do you even need it? Because we've been trained that we need so many things, because marketers are very, very clever people, and they are very good at making us think we need a lot of stuff when we really don't.
Makes sense. Like I mentioned earlier, I was doing interview prep last night. I was on my couch and I was talking to my fiance about you, And he started rattling off, I mean, all of these questions that I had never even thought of. 95% of them I'm not going to ask you. And he was asking about the social impact of going zero waste. And I said, social impact, you know, meaning philanthropic? And he said, no, like her social life. How does she not produce waste at parties? How does she battle temptation just to like grab something quick off a shelf when she's out with a friend? And it really got me thinking, how was going zero waste impacting your social life and your relationships? How do you explain to people what you're doing, or do you even have to explain?
Yeah, I typically don't have to explain. I just roll up to parties. I've got my own little like stainless steel pint cup, which is super cute. And I bring it to parties, barbecues, things like that. I roll up with my own little pint cup, just put my drink in it. I hold it. No one ever asks me any questions. Or if they do, they're like, that's so cool. I'm like, I know, you should get one. And they're always like, I'm going to. And that's pretty much the extent of our conversation. I think it's all about attitude, right? Like if you go in and you act like super weird and like, oh God, I have a reusable cup. Hope no one approaches me about it. People are going to approach you about it. Right. But if you just like show up and you act normal and cool, like everything's normal because it is, then no one cares.
Your blog is a big source of inspiration for a lot of people, especially those that are trying to do the experiment, those that just want to learn more. Who are some of the people that kind of influence you? Who are some of the people in the sustainability world that you look up to?
Yeah, so Plastic Free Beth Terry and Ariana from Paris to Go. She actually, I think her blog is still up, but I know she's changed her Instagram handle, but those are two of my big influences when I first started. Those are people that I turned to for more information. And then now, I mean, now there's just like an awesome, inspiring community. And there's so many people I am so proud to call friend. And so many people like the Girl Gone Green, Manuela, she's absolutely amazing. Andrea from Be Zero Waste Girl. There's so many really inspiring people who are doing really great work.
What do you think are some preconceived notions about people who live a zero waste lifestyle? Like, what do you wish people knew about your routine?
Yeah. Okay. There's a lot. So most people think I'm, wow. Okay. So most people think I'm a really like a dirty hippie. Like when they hear zero waste, they think dirty hippie.
Right.
And like, I don't wear hemp or like flowy dresses at all. Like that's totally not my style. People think that you have to be like super earthy and you really don't. I mean, you can take this as earthy as you want to,
right,
or as like industrial, like modern chic as you want to. Like it really, you know, if you can be any style, you can be any way and you can still reduce the amount of trash you own. Like I dress like really preppy. Like I've love loafers. I've been wearing loafers since I was like 2. Like they're my favorite shoe. And you know, you can be anyone you want to be and still reduce your trash.
I'm the one in the Birkenstocks. I mean, you know, you
I actually like put on an outfit and I felt really cool. And I turned to my husband and I was like, how do I look? It's like, do I look really chic? And he's like, so Berkeley chic. And I was like, don't you dare ever say that to me again.
Berkeley chic. I'm going to use that.
And he was like, why? I thought people here dress chic. And I was like, yeah, if you wear hemp.
Yeah. In all seriousness, I mean, working for a sustainability company, being a sustainability influencer, I think there's a certain mold that people expect you to be like and wear and act. And, you know, it's very cool to see that you're breaking out of that.
Yeah. The other things that people assume is that it's going to be really expensive or really time consuming. And I can promise it's none of those things. And, you know, the goal isn't to get your trash in a mason jar, right? I think people see that and they're like, well, I could never get my trash down to a mason jar. And it's like, yeah, well, that's not really the goal. I mean, you can cut your trash, even if you cut it by 90%, you take out the trash like once a month, that's totally doable. Like that's totally doable. And you really don't have to change that much at all. So it's really not that time consuming and it's not expensive. It will actually save you quite a bit of money. It saved me around the first year I did it. I think we did the calculations and it was about $5,000 a year in savings. And, you know, I mean, sometimes these things will cost up front, right? Like a nice, durable, reusable water bottle will set you back like $30. But if you use it every single day, like I use mine, you know, it's going to pay for itself in the fact that you don't have to buy any bottled water. I mean, you know, I stopped buying bottled water, saved quite a bit. I stopped buying paper towels. I stopped buying paper tissues. I got a bidet attachment on my toilet, which cut our toilet paper usage by 75%, my husband and I. So my toilet paper once a year, like that's it. So we're also much more mindful about what we consume. I can't tell you how many times I would buy stuff just because it was on sale. And then I'd wind up with a stockpile of pantry items that I wasn't even using. And so now I just buy what I actually eat and what I need. And my grocery bill has been slashed. I mean, we eat organic local for two people, like under $200 a year. I mean, I'm sorry, a month. $250.
That's impressive.
Yeah, no, sorry. Yeah, no, that'd be insane.
What about what you wear?
So, yeah, I mean, I do enjoy clothes shopping, but I buy most of my clothes secondhand now, which is obviously much cheaper than it is to buy it firsthand. And I don't have to worry about, you know, any of the ethical practices of what I'm buying. I do buy, but I do like to support, since I have the means, I do like to support sustainable and ethical companies and designers. So I do buy like high-end basics, which can be a little spendy, but there's by no means, I don't think that I would have to do that if I didn't have the means. Am I making sense?
Totally. And like, there are a lot of high-end companies that are, you know, fighting the good fight against textile waste. I think that makes total sense.
Right. But if I didn't have the means to do that, there are definitely, I think there are plenty of secondhand options that I wouldn't have to, but I really do like supporting them and I want to make sure that their businesses are supported.
Okay. So before we wrap up, I wanted to play our little rapid fire game with you. I'm just going to shoot off 10 quick questions and I really just want you to blurt out the first thing that comes to mind. You ready?
I'm ready. I'm so ready.
Who is the last person that you texted?
I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea.
Okay.
My friend Alden, maybe? I don't know.
That counts.
Right. I'm really bad at texting people, to be honest. I'm not a very good texter.
What does your ideal Sunday look like?
Doing nothing.
What is your most overused phrase?
I use the word awesome way too much.
What is your go-to karaoke song?
So I sing Don't Stop Believing, but I sing the four-chord song to it and sing every song that fits into those four chords.
I would like to see that. Beach or mountains?
Beach.
Coffee or tea?
Tea.
What was the last show that you binge watched?
Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
What is one piece of advice that you've heard in your life that really just stuck with you?
The first thing that comes to mind is the motto of my blog, which sounds so narcissistic. Okay, no, this one's better. Okay. The Margaret Mead quote, which is, never doubt that a small group. Wait, does this count? This is a quote. Does this count as a piece of advice? No one told me this. I just read it. Does this count?
It counts. We're going to count. Because I'm the judge and I'm saying it counts.
Okay. And it's, never doubt a small group of thoughtful citizens can change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that ever has.
I would get that tattooed on me. I saw on your Instagram that you recently celebrated a wedding anniversary. I'm getting married in October. What is your best piece of marriage advice for me?
Oh my gosh, congrats. Congrats. So exciting. Best piece of marriage advice. Well, I haven't been married that long, but I don't know if I'm qualified to give marriage advice, but separate space is really healthy.
I agree. And lastly, what does success mean to you?
You know, I've actually been asking myself that question a lot recently because I don't know. I don't really know what it means. I mean, like, and to say, like, to do what you love is just like, I don't know, real surface. So I don't know. I don't know what it means. I'm trying to figure it out.
Again, I'm the judge and I say that that counts. Okay. I'm a huge fan. I was really nervous to do this zero waste experiment with my coworkers. And I think that you've put me at ease a little bit and how unintimidating it actually could be. And now that I have your personal contact info, don't be alarmed when I Skype you in the middle of the night with questions. I won't, I swear. But Catherine's book is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, anywhere books are sold, and you can follow her journey at goingzerowaste.com and on Instagram at going.zero.waste. She's an awesome follow, and you don't know this, but you taught me a trick in the kitchen that I've been using now for a while, and it really changed my life. You can steam your vegetables while you're boiling your pasta in the same pot. And that I taught my mom. I taught my grandma. My grandma is 83 years old, Jewish woman. She's a cook. And you taught us all something new in the kitchen.
That's so exciting. Yeah. And it wastes way less water.
Yeah. Honestly, I was thinking at it more from an efficiency perspective than a sustainable one. But you know, kill two birds, one stone. And that's kind of the whole point of this episode, was kind of that shift in mindset of thinking about waste differently, whether it's water, time, money, trash, food. And I'm going to do my best and see what I can do. But thank you so much for being here. And this was really, really fun for me. And I'm pretty much just fangirling at this point. Now I'm just rambling.
Well, thank you so much for having me. Honestly, I'm very excited about your experiment. I think that you will find that it is going to be much easier than you think. We tend to psych ourselves up, but I think that you're going to find it's a lot of fun. You're going to have a lot of fun, and that you'll have significantly reduced, as long as you're not, you don't go into it with the goal of putting your trash in a mason jar, you'll have a blast. I promise.
I'm going to take your word for it. Thank you, Catherine.
Thank you. Bye.